Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation as we work through an understanding of the Lord's Supper. This is part 3. But first, let's pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find wisdom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading for today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 22 to 26, and I'm reading from the NIV. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly, I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. As I said, this is part 3, and it is our final part, and by no means is it a comprehensive look at the subject of the Lord's Supper, which is one of two sacraments that Jesus has given his church, the other being baptism. Now, the definition of a sacrament is an outward sign of an inward grace. The inward grace in both sacraments speaking of God's salvation and covenant commitment. Apart from baptism, the Lord's Supper is the one significant thing that emerges from Jesus' death and resurrection, which the Church is given as a means of regular commemoration and celebration, and as a means of receiving grace, life, and the strengthening of our faith. Today's text in Mark is a version of the institution of the Lord's Supper, and it serves to take us further with the subject. In this final part, we will be looking at the Lord's Supper and how it is now practiced within our church and the significance of its various aspects. So we begin with the institution of the Lord's Supper. While there are four different accounts, namely the three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, along with 1 Corinthians chapter 11, John's Gospel only speaks of the Passover, whereas in the other three Gospels, Jesus introduced the new sacrament before the Passover meal had ended. And in this way, the new sacrament was linked up with the central element of the Passover meal, for the bread that was eaten with the lamb was consecrated to a new use. And the third cup used at the Passover, generally called the cup of blessing, was used for the second element in the new sacrament. And so the sacrament of the Old Testament was merged with the new in a most natural way. When we consider the substitution of the bread for the lamb, under the Old Testament, the Passover lamb had symbolic significance. Like all blood sacrifices under that covenant, it taught the people that the shedding of blood was necessary for the remission of sins. In addition, for the people of Israel, primarily, it had significance as a memorial of Israel's deliverance from Egypt. But it had meaning as a type, pointing toward the great sacrifice that would come with Christ crucified on the cross for the sin of the world. Again, we remember the words of John the Baptist in John chapter 1, verse 29, where he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." But with the all-sufficient sacrifice of Jesus, any further shedding of the blood of animals became unnecessary. It was therefore completely appropriate for the bloody element of the old to make way for a new element, the bread, which was without further blood being shed, but still nourishing, so to speak. Now, when we think about the words that Jesus spoke, which accompanied the sacrament, as he gave the bread to his disciples, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And in saying these words, it is clear that he did not simply have in mind a physical eating, but a spiritual appropriation of his body by faith. When Jesus added the words, "Do this in remembrance of me," some have thought that this meal was nothing more than a memorial meal. But when we read the following statements in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 to 30, we see it is more than that. Paul, addressing the Corinthian church, says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. These words were addressed to a church that was abusing the Lord's Supper and sharing in a meal where some would become drunk and the poor would eat meager meals while others feasted and overate. In other words, the church did not recognize themselves as the body of Christ and members in particular. Add to that the fact that there was animosity that existed in the church, something that continued even while they celebrated a sacrament that represented reconciliation and forgiveness. Then in John chapter 6, verse 32 to 33, we read the following. Jesus said to them, that is the crowd, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. All this to say that along with the cup, these words were figurative, speaking of the substitutionary atonement of Jesus on the cross. But to avoid any literal understanding, Jesus provided words of explanation, which is important when we celebrate the sacrament. For immediately after commanding his disciples to take the bread and the cup, Jesus explained what the elements meant. This is my body. And despite the various ways in which it has been understood, what seems to be the clearest understanding is that the words of Jesus are meant to be taken metaphorically. The bread and the cup are not literally the body and blood of Jesus. Else Jesus would be saying that he held in his hands his actual body and blood while he was sharing it with his disciples. What Jesus was in fact saying with the words, "This is my body," is that this signifies my body. And I think his disciples would not have been confused, like when on another occasion he said, "I am the bread of life," or "I am the true vine." With respect to the cup, Jesus made this significant statement as a way of explanation. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." By this, he showed the institution of a covenant that would supersede the old. And in all these things, we are to celebrate the Lord's Supper until his return, which is what is meant by the words, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim or announce among yourselves and to the world the work and effect of the cross until the Lord returns, that which God has done and that which the church must do in this world in response until Jesus returns." And so we come to the things signified and sealed in the Lord's Supper. Let's consider those things signified or what they mean. Firstly, it is a symbolic representation of the Lord's death. The language that Jesus used, "my body given, my blood shed for many," all point to the fact that the death of Christ was a sacrificial one for the benefit and in the place of his people, meaning those whom the Father would give him. Secondly, it symbolizes the believer's participation in the crucified Christ. We do not merely look at the emblems on the table, but we receive them and feed on them. Figuratively speaking, we eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. And this means that through these actions of eating and drinking, we appropriate by faith the benefits secured for us by Jesus' death on the cross. Thirdly, it represents not only the death of Christ, who is the object of our faith and with whom we are united by faith through the elements, but also the effect of this act as life-giving, where strength and joy is imparted to the souls of God's people. Just as the bread and wine nourish and revitalize our physical bodies, so too does Jesus, through these elements, nourish and sustain our spiritual life. Finally, it symbolizes the union of believers with one another. Together we receive the elements and share in the same bread and wine. And this is reflected in some of our liturgies, where we quote 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. "Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf." This then brings us to the things sealed through the Lord's Supper. meaning the sacrament is a pledge of God's covenant promises and grace. The sacrament partaken of by faith communicates God's covenant actions to his people. And so we are reminded of the following truths. Firstly, God's great love for us. His very act of sacrifice communicates his love to each one of us. Secondly, God's personal assurance that all the promises of the covenant and all the riches of the gospel are ours, freely given, and we can confidently expect God to fulfill his promises. Thirdly, as surely as we eat the bread and drink the cup that have actual nourishing qualities, so God promises true spiritual nourishment to our souls as we eat and drink by faith. Fourthly, we are reminded that a reciprocal seal exists, meaning that by participating in the Lord's Supper, we profess our faith in Christ and we pledge a life of obedience to God as his children. And so we come to this truth, that the Lord's Supper is something to be shared in with joy and with faith. It is an important aspect of the life of the church and should not be treated lightly. It is God's moment of sharing intimately with his church his faithfulness, love, and care, as well as his covenant commitments. And so may God be with us as we look with fresh eyes at the sacrament set before us when we come together as God's family. I trust then that this short series has been helpful for you and strengthened your faith and witness for Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithful love for your people. We thank you that you have given us the gift of these holy sacraments that remind us of our great salvation, as well as the assurance of Christ's return. Help us to come back to this holy meal again and again with a renewed sense of your presence and power, enabling us to live effectively for you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.